it's time for Homegrown on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now, here's Leslie.
Good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you're an art maker, an art faker, an art breaker, or an art partaker, welcome all, because all are welcome, of course, to Homegrown, a show about local art, brought to you by Blue Moon Diner. I'm the one they call Clinton, and what light through yonder window breaks? Is that the east? No, it's Leslie M. Scott Jones.
I don't think I'm Juliet, but thanks for that. Is it just because I'm wearing teal today? Is that what it is? It's a little bright for you?
Yes. Your whole general manner is a little bright for me. I live in a dour, small little rain cloud of proto-goth gloom, and you just blow it. I'm surprised that I don't have to do the show with sunglasses.
Well, I have an extra pair if you need one, but I'm very glad I could be that little source of light for you once a week.
So glad. Not as glad as I am.
All right. This is a little too lovey-dovey. Next.
Let's get to you tearing me down. That's what people have tuned in for afterwards. After all, let's be honest with each other. First, we need our parental advisory. For all you parentals out there, for all you people renting a pair,
what?
We may say the parentals. They're parentals. They could be renting it. That works.
Okay. All right. It works. Sure.
Already with the cutting down. For all you parentals out there, we may say at one point in the show we'll try not to. We'll try not to. But the words, they just come out. They just flow. They are like a lexicographic river that we jump on, and the rapids, sometimes they come.
Oh, lexicographic. That's a big word.
And who knows if it was properly used. The only radio show that you can listen to with a good Google connection in front of you.
Right.
What the hell did he just say? Look that one up. I don't think that was a real word that he just said. He's making stuff up. We may say the word paroxysm. Paroxysm. We may say the paroxysm. In fact, you might be falling into a paroxysm. At the things that I'm saying or attempting to say right now. So if you've got teeny tiny little ones whom you want to shield from the viciousness of the world, of the words. What little people whose ears you have stuffed with cotton every time a presidential candidate tries to speak, you might want to take them and shove their heads under pillows so that you don't have to explain to them what a paroxysm is.
Wow. That's a parental advisory right there.
There you go.
You know what? I think that one is definitely going on our best of reel.
Really?
That's because that was great.
Awesome. just trying to bring it.
You succeeded, sir. You know what?
What?
I think our first guest has little ones. Or a
really?
One. She has a little one. Yes.
That's a new thing.
That is not a new thing.
For me, it is.
We've had guests with children before.
Have we?
Yes.
Where's our quality control? No one told me about this. Art and kids, those can't go together.
There are some things we do try and keep from you. I'm sorry. I thought you knew that there was a filter.
You just wave the bag of Coke in front of me before the show. And you're like, no need to look here, Clint. Do a couple of lines. Everything will be okay. Are those baby pictures? Lines, Clint. Do the lines.
Oh, my God. It's not Coke, by the way. It's just jerky. Nobody call in, okay? There's no.
I thought you were getting ripped off. There was just no buzz on that stuff at all.
I think we've now made our guests laugh, so I think we're good.
let's break the suspense and introduce people to our guest. Our guest, singer-songwriter, whom I've just learned has returned to us. from the wilds of the great Babylon. Actually, the great Babylon's New York. From the wilds of the Big Orange.
The Big Orange.
Out in L.A. Welcome, Mariana Bell.
Hello. Is this going to work here?
Who knows?
Okay. All right. Hi.
Hi. How's it going, Mariana?
It's really good. I haven't had any coffee today, though, so I'm not quite as zesty as you guys. You're quite charming over there.
Good gosh. I think you're charming.
Thank you.
You're terribly charming. So full disclosure, Mariana and I have known each other for a long, long time.
Very long time.
But not all that well, because you've just informed me that you've moved back to town.
Yes, I was gone for 6 years in L.A., and I was gone for about 6 years in New York, and a little stint in between back home, but I've been gone a lot.
Good gosh. Is it shocking to be back here with relatively... A relatively smaller amount of facial reconstructive surgery after being in LA?
Oh, I had to leave because that was so scary. No, I have friends in LA that are like, oh, 28, too old for Botox already. It's weird. It's weird.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. Yeah, no, they start you young. Come out of the womb, get your Botox.
And just
yeah. As soon as you're born, you start dying. You gotta get on that. You gotta watch it.
There you go. The gift certificates at sweet 16 birthdays in
it's
L.A.
True. It's true.
Frightening to see, I bet.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're back here. What's it like to be back?
It's hot is what it is. It's friggin' hot. It's muggy as all hell is what it is. No, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's nice to get my photos and see people pretty much every corner I turn that I know. So that's... quite a change from the relative anonymity, and it's good. It's nice to be able to have a little hometown show to promote every now and again.
There you go.
And I like it. Yeah.
So what are the challenges between taking a career? Because especially as a musician, and a musician where you're a singer songwriter such as yourself, you're touring. It seems like you're gonna benefit a lot from the connections that you make. And the network that you build that's going to be necessarily regional, right? Unless you've really branched out and you're national or international, right? To move your base, your home base, what's that like? Do you have to like recreate all connections? Are there still people that you used to, you know, hook up with that you can hook up with now?
Certainly. Well, for example, the gig that I'm doing Friday is...
Do you have a gig on Friday?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I do. I'm playing with my dear friend and mentor, Ellis Paul,
bum, bum, bum.
Who lives here. So sort of. You do have to start over. You have to earn people's trust and appreciation all over again pretty much any time you play, even if it's within your region. You have to prove yourself every time you're on stage, because people have short attention spans and there's really good music out there, and they don't have to listen to you and they don't have to pay to hear you. So you have to earn it every time. But having said that, it's, you know, this is my hometown. There's a couple people who still remember me, like yourself, which is why you asked me on, which is very nice. And people like, you know, Ellis Paul, who kindly asked me to jump in as an opener, or, you know, the Sons of Bills guys and you know, the old school locals, the bond is deep and tight. So it's nice to have people like that in this town.
May I ask a dangerous question? Yes, there you go. A dangerous question. Do you want to go on the record with your answer to this question?
Do you have Bailey's or something I could throw in a coffee here?
How comfortable. We've said it before. If there's a coffee shop around there, if you want to put it like a little stand right in front of our offices, you will sell coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, trust me, you will sell coffee. How collaborative do you find the local music scene around here? Is it really supportive or how competitive is it? Is it like, well, we're going to shut you out?
I mean, I think you give as good as you get. So if you're going to be a dick to people, like, they're going to treat you that way too, and they're not going to include you, and they're not going to want to, you know, invite you on stage to do stuff with them. But you know, if you try to be collaborative with other people and, you know, invite
younger people to come play with you. I have a real fondness for Jenna Matthew, and she's a fantastic singer-songwriter, and I've had her open for me and stuff. And so you try to do your best, and you can't worry about what other people are doing or thinking about you. You just do what you want to do and how you want to be treated, right? So I can't speak to whether or not it's clicky or competitive, mostly because I don't go out anymore. I have a toddler, and I don't I don't really get to do anything terribly much in the scene, so to speak. So when I do get out, I try really hard to make an effort to support my friends, but it is harder because, you know, you can't get a sitter sometimes or whatever.
So tell us, so when did that happen?
Everett is a year and a half.
Good gosh.
Yeah.
Good gosh. And was Everett a consideration or
a
contributing factor to moving back to here?
Yeah, absolutely.
The catalyst.
Absolutely.
A catalyzing effect.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I wanted him to have a similar childhood that I had here, which is lots of green, lots of open space, and a little bit of a slower pace. So that's pretty much why we came back.
So how has having a child affected your songwriting?
Oh, I'm going to take a big drink of I Knew It over here. Knew you're going to ask that question.
It's challenging in the sort of mundane aspect of just not having a lot of time to write.
Yeah.
But then also in the more, you know, larger picture of it is you try to write a song encapsulating how important this thing is to you and you just can't.
Right.
You're going to sound hackneyed. You're going to sound cheesy. You're going to sound, it's just awful. So, so there's very few ways to capture or attempt to express something as potent as having a kid. So then, you know, I sort of give up and say, screw it. Let me think about some awful tragedy. That's a lot easier to write. Right. You know, like it's really hard to write about something so meaningful and really get it right. So I've struggled. I've tried. I've got a thousand notes on my phone about, you know, this thing that happened and the newness and the beauty and the wonder of his every move.
Right.
But it all sounds like crap when I try to write.
Yeah, well,
so, you know, I do. You try. But
well, I think other parents would understand.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Yeah.
but not even parents. I totally get that having that one subject that seems so much to you that you can't quite get down. Like when I was a kid, I would hear, like, late at night, sometimes when I was up, I couldn't sleep for whatever reason, and I could hear the sound of a train, like the whistle, the long, that wonderful, long, lonely whistle of a train. And the great thing is I could never find where those tracks were. Like, you know, wherever we drove, there were no tracks around my house. So I had no idea where
ghost
this train was.
Yeah,
it was this ghost train in the middle of the night. And for years through writing, I tried to, both in terms of poetry and short stories and even songs, I tried to somehow express what that meant to me. And then finally I heard Paul Simon's Train in the Distance, and I'm like, all right, he did it.
Oh, never mind. That separates the
Done.
Man from the beast.
Exactly. Couldn't do it. Paul Simon could. All right. 13 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And this is Homegrown, a show about local art brought to you by Blue Moon Diner. If you're just joining us, we are talking to the wonderful Marianna Bell.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, let's listen to one of her tunes here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
Thinks of the time he joined the brigade.
17 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Homegrown, a show about local art, and we're here with Marianna Bell. That was just Room With No Doors from her album Push. That was nice.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about that song?
Yeah, it's about people who have their limitations, whether from the inside or from the outside, a room with no doors or a house with no walls. It's people who build things around themselves and... you know, trying to reach out and help them in whatever way you can.
Do you like constructing songs around evocative images for yourself?
I do. Because I'm not quite adept enough at just saying the truth as it is. There are some people who are really, really good at just getting that little phrase that just stabs you in the heart with the truth, because it's the simplest, cleanest way of saying that thing.
Right. Don't you find that that's one of the hardest?
It's so hard
types
to
of
do. So I find,
right.
So I find if I can just find a nice little metaphor that can say it with a little subterfuge, it's that's kind of my way of doing it.
Dig it. Yeah, I can take that. Oh, Leslie's. Look back to see if Leslie had a question. He's back there fiddling with stuff.
I do not fiddle. I do not fiddle. I am working over here, okay? There are a lot of buttons to push and sliders to move, and there's stuff. There's stuff going on, okay? Just fiddle. What is wrong with you?
Do you have Ellis Paul back there? Is that what you...
Yeah, that's what we...
Oh, heyo.
Oh, yeah.
Heyo.
Oh, yeah. tell us about the concert coming up.
We're going to be at the Southern on Friday the 19th, and doors are at 6, show is at 8. I'm opening up, but it'll be sort of an extended opener, longer than the normal 20-minute spot.
Nice.
So it's sort of a pseudo gentle co-headlining, if you will, because Ellis Paul is a very generous person, and it should be a good show, but I recommend getting tickets early and getting a seat early, because it's usually kind of full.
You were nice enough to refer to him as sort of a mentor. Can you talk about your influences?
Sure. I mean, Paul is an extraordinarily prolific and well-respected person in the folk community, and I'm lucky enough to know him personally. But in terms of other influences, I'm hugely a fan of Sean Colvin. Ani DeFranco, of course, like dominated most of my teen and early 20s years of songwriting. And then Dave Matthews is kind of the reason I picked up a guitar when I was 14, because nice. Charlottesville.
Right.
And Bruce Coburn, another huge favorite.
Oh, nice.
Just, you know, the people who really do their craft, that really dig in and aren't afraid of weird and aren't afraid of political and aren't afraid of real.
Coburn is one of the, it's so great to hear you say Bruce Coburn. Coburn is one of those artists, it, at least that I found, where I don't, people have talked about an artist where like musicians know Bruce Coburn.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't run into a lot of people who aren't musicians who know Bruce Coburn. Mm-hmm. When he's great. I mean, he's just wonderful.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
So you want to favor us with a song right now?
Sure. I'll do one live. I have a wee sniffle, so forgive me.
A wee sniffle. That's what I call the lines of coke I do before the show.
Isn't she precious? A wee sniffle. I just love it.
Is this
okay? So the mic
bashing people. In the ears. I'm sorry.
The mic has a mind of its own, and that's okay.
Okay. I'm gonna just try.
There we go.
Superstition never used to get to me until one Friday 13th, when heaven opened up and set her demons free, pouring like I've never seen. We watched our possessions floating down the hall. All you remember was me crying, lamenting loss, unluckiest of all. Brave faces not worth trying. But oh, think of how
Mariana Bell. That was amazing.
Oh, yeah. There you go. How do you like your music better? Do you like your music better recorded with the arrangement and the instrumentation that you can provide to it, or more like that in just that really close stripped down and very intimate way?
I have recordings of both for the reason that is my answer, which is both. it's so much fun to be in the studio with a bunch of dudes jamming out, you know, different instrumentation, playing with all that fun stuff, the drums and the different the possibilities that are just endless and really exciting as an artist. I love being in the studio. But there's something obviously to be said for that intimacy that you get with just you and the song. And it's a test of the song. You know, if it can hold up there, then you can throw the stuff on it and it's still okay. But if it can't be played by itself, you got to wonder what's there, where are the bones of it, you know? So I love
I think
both.
So. Isn't it possible that you have a song that is a decent song but really needs to have different parts to it and different people coming in different aspects?
Yes, I take that back. Yes, certainly. I think the sonic landscape of something, it defines it, surely. But and I, you know, I have done a lot of EDM stuff, some dance music, some other genres that are exactly that, and that when stripped away are the same four chords that everybody else uses.
Right.
So certainly, but for this particular, for my music, for this style, I think that it's a lot harder to get away with that. If you're not saying it, if you're not playing it truthfully, then no amount of extra stuff is going to fix it.
All right. Well, Mariana, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For coming on Homegrown. Give people the what, where, and when for the concert, if you would, please.
I will. It's, again, Friday at the Southern with Ellis Paul as the headliner at 8 o'clock, but get there early. And it's my birthday this week, so please come.
Oh.
It's my birthday show.
If you're wondering what present that you can give Mariana.
It's to come to the show.
Go to her show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hope to have you back again.
Hey, this is Keith Morris, Keith Morris and the Crooked Numbers, and you're listening to 94.7 Homegrown Radio.
27 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Let us look at some of the wonderful artistic events we have going on in this wonderful artistic town. Today, West Side Story is your last chance to see West Side Story by Shannon Arts.
Go see it. It's awesome.
Yes, go see it. See what jumping around, ballet fights, da-da-da-da-da, snap battle. You know you want a snap battle. You know you want to see a good snap battle. Also, today is your last chance if you don't want to go all the way over the mountain. Today is the last chance to see Once on This Island at Four County Players. Today is your first opportunity. That's what Leslie's going to today. Your first opportunity to see Der Rosenkavalier or Someone Younger by the Victory Hall Opera Company at the V. Earl Dickinson Building at PVCC. It's going to be running from today until August 20th. So catch that. Go to the Victory Hall Opera Company. Google that and find out the information. Also currently running until August 28th. The American Shakespeare Center summer season. Winding down. 12th Night, King Lear, and Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, which, believe it or not, was not written by Shakespeare, but they're still doing it. Tomorrow until August 16th, Guerrilla Theater. Guerrilla Theater, who's been just cranking out stuff in the last few months. Holy smokes. Guerrilla Theater Summer Shorts goes on. Check out the little theater that could down on Allied Street for their summer shorts. From August 18th to August 24th, There's a Burglar in My Bed over at Oak Grove Theater in Verona, Virginia. What's the end of the summer without a little bit of a farce? Under the Stars. Oak Grove Theater in Verona, Virginia. Check it out. August 18th, Big Blue Door Improv Night at Seville Coffee. August 19th, the Charlottesville Reading Series at the Garage on First Street between Market and Jefferson. And August 24th, there's an open mic night again at the Bridge PAI, looking for different artists to come in and be open on that mic. And let's look at some of the musical offerings that we have available to us. August 16th, the last concert of the Charlottesville Municipal Band Summer Concert Series at the MLK Performing Arts Center at Charlottesville High School goes down. This, of course, is free. Check it out. August 17th, Stanton's Stephen Michael Smith at the Bebedero. August 18th, Scuffletown, the Market at Grellin. Also, August 18th, the Weed Eaters at the Whiskey Jar. and the Michael Ellswick Gathering at Fellini's. August 19th, Jimmy O at Heritage on Main. Also August 19th, Matthew McAllister opens for the Currys at Fridays After 5. And the Judy Chops are at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. And of course, Ellis Paul and Mariana Bell at Southern Cafe Music Hall. August 20th, DJ Groovematic at Rapture. The Pollux at Batesville Market. LG and Friends at the Whiskey Jar. And August 21st, Dharma Bums from Richmond with Damn Tall Buildings and Jeremiah Tall at the Garage on the first street between Market and Jefferson. Of course, every Sunday it's Travis Elliott at Rapture. Every Monday it's the Singer-Songwriter Night at the Local. Every Tuesday, the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, open mic night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery, Bob Bonetta at Cafe Couture, and the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. Every Thursday, it's the Woolen Writers Revival, hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. Every Thursday, down at Miller's, it's the John Dearth Quintet, because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dearth. If you are an artist and have an event, and you...
John Dearth is playing with Mariana.
Is he?
Yes.
Dig it.
I know, right?
Oh, my gosh.
How awesome is he, by the way?
I'm having a paroxysm of joy. Paroxysm. So, it's so joyful I can't pronounce it correctly.
That, does that happen often, dear?
Not as often as I'd like, let me just say. So, if you are... a musician or an artist, and you want us to talk about your stuff on the air, we want to do it. Contact us at our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/homegrownwpvc, or check us out at our handy dandy email address, homegrown947@gmail.com. Please do. Homegrown. This is 94.7. WPVC, 32 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Homegrown, show about local art, sponsored by the Blue Moon Diner. Blue Moon Diner, with breakfast all day, every day, brunch on Saturday and Sunday, and carefully constructed diner food afterwards. And also in the evenings, Blue Moon Diner has been nice enough to support local and visiting artists for years. This week, Monday, Cincinnati folk singer-songwriter Andrew Hibbard. Americana from Sarasota, Florida, with the Blue-Eyed Bettys. Wednesday, it's multi-instrumentalist Paige Kiner from Orlando, Florida. Thursday, it's Dan Sebring, Fran Bechter, and Susan Munson, local darlings. And Friday, it's Shot of Country by Jason Ring from Forest, Virginia.
I want to listen to some music.
You want to listen to some music?
I want to listen to... Can we just play something?
We should do that.
Okay.
Were speaking, the pipes inside them creaking, told the secret that was rising in my heart. And you lay beside me sleeping with the dreams that you were keeping. The smoke was in the stairwell outside the wall. We had moved in just November, the first night I remember. We lit a candle, laid a mattress on the floor, and we toasted to our savings, to our adulthood, to behaving, to this house with drafty windows creaking. So we stood like statues staring. just your mouth. I can't believe I'm thanking Jesus as I watch my roof come down. But I can put back all the pieces.
All right, that was Ellis Paul's Home. And the reason we were playing Ellis Paul's Home is because we now have Ellis Paul himself talking to us on the phone. How's Ellis? Welcome to Homegrown.
It's good to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Ellis, tell us, where are you right now?
I'm in Centerville, Massachusetts. It's a small town on Cape Cod. And this weekend, I was running a song retreat for songwriters up in Cape Cod. We had about 30 songwriters up here, and it's been great.
How did that go?
Really fun, you know. We had workshops during the day and concerts and jam sessions at night, and everybody walked out with a fairly finished piece of music, which is great. And some of them were spectacular. I have to say, I was kind of shocked at the quality that people were putting out after only a couple of days. So it's been phenomenal.
Well, that's always great when you can have when artists can surprise you.
Yeah, you know. They're all talented. It's just, it amazes me how a song can not exist and then pop out into the universe and then be there forever. It's sort of like, making babies in a way. You sometimes feel like you just can't believe they're suddenly there and then your life changes.
See, that has been a theme for this show today, and you just came in with that little added tidbit and you didn't even know.
Yeah, there are no coincidences.
Yeah, you know, years ago I was watching a documentary, and they talked to Malvina Reynolds, and she was talking about the creation of Little Boxes, and saying how it was done on a song, how she made it on a songwriting retreat, and talked about how by the end of the retreat she had this song that seemed to play really well at the retreat, and of course has gone on to be this staple of folk music. And for ever since then, that has stuck with me, that idea of that image of the retreat where somebody can walk out with this song, that songs can be just created there.
Yeah. And I feel like there are a few songs that are going to help define the people who wrote them in a way that, was an improvement than when they came in. So yeah, there's a lot of growth happening, a lot of community, and a lot of these folks are semi-professional. You know, they have day jobs, and this weekend gives them an opportunity just to be artists entirely from dawn to dusk, just 24-hour songwriting. A lot of them are parents, or a lot of them have jobs, and you know, it's just nice to get away for 3-4 days and just be that part of your personality.
Yeah, can I have one of those for writing, please? Because
they are out there. I know. I hear a lot about writing features, and they do the same thing. They're really fun.
Yeah. So I was wondering how established these songwriters are. I mean, and you say they're sort of semi-professional. Because personally, I'll tell you, if I had to sit in front of you with a song, I don't think I would play or sing a note.
Oh,
I think that I would. I think that I would just quietly quiver.
Oh, stop!
Wow.
This is Ellis Paul we're talking about.
I know, but you know, you would get over it, right, Ellis? He would get over it.
You would, yeah, trust me. I would make him get over it.
See?
But the factor of talent here is pretty high. When I was looking at the group of people that signed up, I recognized some of the names. Michael Veach is here, who's been one of my favorite songwriters for the last 30 years, and he's very accomplished and has nationally toured, and he's been a professional musician, you know, all of my adult life. And George Wurzbach is here, and he teaches at Monmouth University. He teaches music composition, and he's been on the circuit as well for most of his life, and I've been a fan of his for a long time. So, you know, we have people who are my heroes here, and then we have people, you know, that haven't been on stage much and are just starting to write songs. So it's this wide gamut. We had people from 19 to 75 here. And, in the full gamut of professional musicians and beginners.
So I know that when I because, you know, Clinton and I are mostly theater people, and, you know, we both write and direct. And when I direct a show, I like to have that mixture. People that have maybe never done anything before and people who have been a staple for a while, because I find it helps the staples kind of get excited about it again. And right. It gives the young guys something to aspire to. So are you finding that same dichotomy in this?
Absolutely. I paired everybody off and early on and as songwriting partners. And, you know, we had a 25-year-old and a 75-year-old writing together. And I have to tell you, the song that they just sang during the end of the day celebration here, the end of the retreat celebration, was phenomenal. And you know, next time I go to Nashville, I want to see if I can get it plugged for them.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just it's exciting, again, to see people collaborate. And, you know, the 75-year-old looked like he was in heaven. You know, the song was so complete and so great. And the kid that he was writing with is a very accomplished guitarist and has a beautiful voice. And the lyric writing was phenomenal. So, you know, just you sometimes get that peanut butter and chocolate combination.
Right.
And for some reason, it just works into a better thing.
So whenever we talk to musicians who are also songwriters, I always have this question in the back of my mind about how they think music is moving, like how the industry is moving, because it seems like it is definitely moving away from concentration on lyrics. It's definitely moving away from having an album that has an arc, that tells a story, that someone can sit down and listen to and feel moved at the end of it. So when we talk to songwriters, you know, one of my questions is, do you feel that way also? And how are you combating it?
Well, you're right. It's we're in a new paradigm, and it's still chaotic, and it's still like a civil war. We don't know what the final version of the music industry is going to be and what it's going to look like, because, you know, it's in order for it to settle into something, it involves legislation and congressmen and judges getting the job done, and getting the job done without the influence of big business and the money makers, because you know, the songwriter goes unprotected, and it's harder and harder for songwriters to make a living. And then, like you said, lyric-driven songs aren't as viable on commercial radio as they were in the 70s, 80s, and even 90s. But, you know, once in a while, that stuff is still happening, and once in a while, country music opens its doors to a good song as well. So there's still some avenues there. And I would say that, you know, the guerrilla kind of indie movement in the music industry it's exciting right now. It's hard to make a living there, but story songs and narrative songs and lyrical-driven songs are still a home for them if you can find your audience. You know, there are people that appreciate that kind of music because it's not technology-driven, it's not commercially-driven, and it's not, you know, the kind of crap that you're hearing on some of these commercial stations, country stations, that just sounds like somebody trying to make money. So, you know, I think good art, as you guys know in theater, good art is good art, and there's always going to be an audience for it. You just got to find out where they are, and the internet does give us access to that. It's just the internet is so vast, it's a little bit like a needle in a haystack, but knowing that it's there is comforting.
All right, 45 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Homegrown, your show about local art. And if you're just joining us, your show about local art, brought to you by Blue Moon Diner. If you're just joining us, we're talking here with singer-songwriter Ellis Paul. Stay tuned, of course, after Homegrown for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. Today he's going to be talking to Dr. Chris Winter, about an expert on sleep medicine. So, Ellis, so you've always been, so speaking of story songwriting, there's always been an aspect, I mean, you've always been doing some story songwriting. I mean, some of the earliest songs that I heard you do, were story songs, but you've gone through, at least I feel listening to your stuff, that lyrically you've gone through phases, and it feels in, at least in the last, album that I've heard of yours, that you've turned back to story songwriting. Do you think that's fair to say?
Yeah, you know, I think after you're on the road and touring and writing songs for 25 years, you start to experiment with different kinds of lyric writing, different kinds of melody writing, different kinds of recording. And but you know, my heart, and I think the best of my songs and the songs that I love the best from other people, like my favorite Dylan songs and my favorite Joni Mitchell songs and McCartney songs, they're all the lyric-driven story songs. You know, I like to see somebody's life appear before my eyes like a movie, and the people that are really great at that, they're my favorite songwriters.
So you're currently based in Charlottesville right now, right?
Yes, I am. Yeah, and I love it there.
Awesome. So. But I have to ask, because you came out of, before I moved here, I was up north, I was in Philadelphia, and much more able to plug into the folk world of the Mid-Atlantic and the Northeast than you get down here. And you come out of the what I consider to be the hardcore Boston singer-songwriter scene, right? So I have to ask, what is that like?
Well, you know, I love Charlottesville and the fact that there's so many great musicians there. Not a lot of, singer-songwriters, but Americana acts and bluegrass acts and, finding Mariana Bell and Peyton Cochtemon and some of these other folks that are great singer-songwriters is a blessing. So it's good to have community and a tribe down there. Up in Boston, of course, it's in New York and Philly, there's major radio stations that cover hundreds and hundreds of miles and makes the touring life a little bit easier. Even the towns are close to one another and the venue's closer to one another than down here. But I have to tell you, Charlottesville, it has enough of everything, and then it has beauty and weather that is really, really great and fits my temperament and where I am in my life, and it's a great place to raise kids. And so I feel like there's enough of a creative community, and then the physical beauty just it makes it to be just the right spot for me. I'm really very happy there.
Do you find that the difference in the folk community down here, or at least the difference in the musical offerings, are having any effect on the songs that you're writing, or with what you're willing to experiment with musically?
Well, you know, I'm getting to hear a little bit more Americana music, and I think that's affecting my writing somewhat. But for the most part, you know, I'm touring all the time. Every weekend, I'm on the road somewhere, and next week I'm off. I'm actually going to be in Charlottesville, which is great, and do some regional shows in Maryland and Virginia. But for the most part, I live on the highway, and then I come and touch down in Charlottesville for a few days and take care of my kids and reconnect with my family. So there's not a lot of change in the writing, because I've been basically an on-the-road songwriter for 25 years, so every region of the country where I establish relationships with other musicians tends to affect my writing. And, in Charlottesville, it's just one place on the map. But I have to say the players are great, the writing is great. Mariana's a great singer-songwriter and really gifted with lyrics and with melody and singing. So I'm surrounded by talent and I'm inspired by it, and that keeps my batteries charged and keeps me on the road.
Ellis, thank you so much for calling in and talking to us today. Give everybody the where and when of your Charlottesville show.
It is on Friday. I believe it's the 19th. Is Mariana still there with you folks?
She
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think the show starts, is it 7:30, Mariana? Do you remember? But it's at...
Yeah, she's saying 7:30.
7:30, and it's Friday, August 19th at the Southern. Come on down and share some songs and stories with us, and thanks for having me on the air, guys. I appreciate what you do, and really grateful for you to let me on here to talk to you.
Oh, of course. And anytime you want to come back, you are welcome, sir.
Okay, I'll bring my guitar next time.
Yes!
Excellent. Thank you very much. Ellis Paul here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. You're listening to Homegrown, a show about local art brought to you by Blue Moon Diner. If you're just tuning in now, I'm sorry, you missed a great show. Except we still have one piece left, one part for your heart, one dole for your soul. clearly set to provide you with a paroxysm of fun excitement. It is both content and music. It is that part of the show that I think most people just tune in for, really. It's Leslie's Weekly Rant.
Aw, thank you, Clinton. You're so sweet. I didn't realize, but there was a theme to the show this week. I wrote this rant before the show, so this is just happenstance. So I hope you will forgive me, because this week I want to talk about something other than art. There is no greater joy than having children. There is also no greater fear than having children. For most women, from the very moment of conception, you are different. And as they grow, every new stage brings something new for you to adore and another worry for you to have. So I took my daughter back to college yesterday after she had spent the entire summer with me. And the hug goodbye after all the running around and carrying all the stuff was yet another milestone in her 21 years. So I'm struggled to find a way to talk about this, just like Mariana was saying earlier. So I'm going to turn from my words to the words of another splendid bugger who's much better at expressing himself than I am, Khalil Gibran. On children. And a woman who held a babe against her bosom said, "Speak to us of children." And he said, "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the boughs from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness. For even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable." And that's the weekly rant.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You have a problem with this?
You talk about it as a theme for today's show. I feel like it's more, I don't know, a mugging.
A what?
A jump.
What?
You jumped it like, oh my gosh, motherhood, 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 motherhood. This is just like, this is all thrown at me, right? This is all thrown at me.
No, it's not,
like,
no.
Some like of
no, I think you're being a little paranoid.
Parental
no, it's not thrown at you.
Throw down here.
No.
And plus, you call that the weekly rant. Most of it, most of it was done by Khalil Jabil or whatever his
name
is.
My God, Khalil Gibran?
Goodness gracious. All I know is that sounds like a foreign name to me.
Clinton.
What are you doing?
Clinton.
What are
really?
You doing?
Really? You went there? What did? What is bring up in with somebody, you today?
Bringing non-American stuff in here, huh?
No, I'm...
Hey,
I'm
I just want to tell the people out there, do not bother to call Homeland Security.
Oh, my
I
God.
Am on it.
Yeah.
I am on it.
No, he's more you like
think,
off it.
You think that you're going to be able to sneak this type of weird for non-American foreign stuff into our show. Not going to be able to do it. Nuh-uh. Not going to be prudent because this guy bleeds
you
red,
into,
white,
like, George Bush
and
there
blue,
for a second, right?
Red, white, and blue.
Oh,
and
my
he's
God.
Not going to be, he's not going to stand for this. Not going to stand. You think he can hide?
He's not standing, by the way. He's sitting down.
Your ways, your insidious things by trying to put up little puppies and little babies
what?
And hugging your daughter and stuff like, but I see what your plan is.
Okay.
I see what your insidious plan is.
He has gone round the bend.
In fact, I just hope that you're ready for a visit from my little friends at the FBI. That's
oh,
what I hope.
Oh, my God. Really?
That's what I hope.
Clinton, honey.
It's morning in America. It's midnight in the rest of the world.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
That's what.
Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But where's the phone?
All right.
I got the agent on speed dial.
Oh, my God.
I'm speed dialing this guy.
There's apparently there's been a meltdown of some sort.
USA! USA!
Oh,
USA!
Wow. Clinton became like a Trump supporter there for a second. I'm not really sure what happened. I'm hoping there was some sort of possession and hopefully it will subside by next week. Or we're going to have, more problems. I want to thank our guests, Mariana Bell and Ellis Paul. Don't forget to go see them Friday, August 19th at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall, because that's going to be an awesome show. Get your tickets early and get there early to get a seat. You won't want to miss it. Stay tuned. It's the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with Rick Moore. His guest is Chris Winter, an expert on sleep medicine. I hope you guys had as much fun on this show as we did. Maybe Clinton had a little too much fun. I'm going to go check on him. But you guys have a great week, and we will see you next week.
Listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.